we're constantly choosing. And so you've got to get in the practice of choosing gratitude and seeing it out there. You know, I believe that what you see, the way that you see the world, impacts your thoughts, which impacts your feelings, which impacts your actions, which impacts your results. And so truly what you see is what you get. But you have to get in the practice of seeing the world as filled with things to be grateful for. And that is a daily practice. It is not a destination. And some days, you know, if you have read the book, The Four Agreements, one of the agreements is always do your best. Some days your best is barely finding anything to be grateful for, you know, but doing the work. And other days your best is being just singing from the mountaintops all of the things that you're grateful for. And not beating yourself up when you're having those less grateful days, but recognizing that it's a practice. And as long as you're practicing, you're getting better.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. During her 20 years as a lawyer, our guest today has combined her psychology degree with tools of persuasion and influence to advocate for her clients. She's now on a mission to teach women these tools, understand what it really means to advocate for themselves, and apply these techniques to all areas of their lives. Our guest today is Heather Hansen, and I'm really happy to have her here. She's a self-advocacy expert, on-air legal analyst, and award-winning trial attorney. Heather, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Georgian. I am grateful.
That's the perfect beginning for our conversation, and I could really feel it. I love this. So let us know a little bit more about you, about your story, who you are.
So my background is as a trial lawyer, as you mentioned, and for over 20 years, my job was to defend doctors when their patients sued them. That's a type of law I practiced. And I loved it for a very long time. And I was very good at it. I was very good at advocating for my clients in the courtroom. But one day, after many, many years of doing this, I was sitting in my car and crying because there were things that I wanted that I wasn't getting. I wanted to do more of the television that you mentioned that I sometimes do. I wanted to write a book. I wanted changes in my romantic relationship. And what I realized in that moment was, although I was very good at advocating for others, I was not good at advocating for myself. And I decided to start using the tools I used in the courtroom to ask for the time and the resources to write that book and to do that television and to change that relationship. And I did. And so now my life's purpose is to help other people start to do the same. And I think for purposes of this conversation, what it began with for me, and it begins with for most, is persuading myself to make the choice that I could do that.
Wow. I love this idea. Let's explore it a little bit. I think like you mentioned, it's the hardest thing to do is to convince ourselves of the fact that we can do some things or that we are worthy of some things, right?
I think that's right. I think that, so I call the part of ourselves that we want to persuade the inner jury. In the courtroom, I had a jury of 12 people that I wanted to persuade to make the choice that would allow me to win. But there's a part of you that you have to persuade to make choices that allow you to win, right? And in your head, there's often a voice saying, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're too big, you're too small. And there hopefully is a tiny little voice also saying, You are enough. You have enough. You know what you're doing. You're ready. You're capable. You're smart. You're kind. And the inner jury has to choose that voice in order to advocate for yourself, to ask for what you want and get it. And, you know, for purposes of this podcast, one of the things I've thought a lot about, Georgian, is that inner jury also has to choose gratitude in order to keep on going with the way that you choose your life and choose the things that are going to best serve you. So that inner jury is, if people just leave this podcast recognizing that they have a part of them that listens and chooses, and they get to persuade that part of them to make better choices, my job will be done.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think it's such an important part of the way we work, and the things that are not seen on the outside and that many people might not actually know about. It's just within ourselves. It's just things that we know we're dealing with and we have challenges with. And I think that part is so extremely important, because even if people might want to help us one way or another, if we are not convinced that we can have a different kind of experience, that's really, really hard to actually make it happen, right?
Right. You know, one of the things I talk about a lot is credibility, because you can't prove something unless you believe it. So, and, you know, just as you're talking about, if other people believe in you, believe in your capabilities, believe in your potential, but you don't, you can't go out there and prove it. You can't advocate until you believe. And so the most important tool I have in my book, Advocate to Win, there's 10 tools of an advocate. And to me, the most important tool is credibility. That is the ability to make someone believe. And again, it starts with you, because if you don't believe, you can't make anyone else believe. I found that in the courtroom time and time again.
That's so true. And it's relevant in so many areas of our life, like whether it's the romantic relationship, even in the relationships we have with friends or with family, we have to start from somewhere. And we almost all the time have to start from within and to see these things and to, like you said, to convince our inner jury of different things. Yeah, I think it's a powerful idea and a really interesting perspective. And I love the fact that you're focusing on something that I believe many of us that are more focused on helping others and being empathic and kind deal with, so we can be fierce when we're fighting for other people, but we're not doing the same for ourselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're so right about that, George. And there's so many studies that show, especially women, but also people with those feminine qualities that you're talking about, right? That we tend to be much better at advocating for others than we are for ourselves. And one of the things that I want to tell those listeners who feel that way, that feel as though they'd rather lead with empathy and compassion and perspective, I agree. I am the exact same way. And that's why in my book, the last tool of an advocate is argument. There are so many other ways to ask for what you want and get it. It's choosing the right words. It's seeing things from the other person's perspective. It's looking for ways that everyone can win. My definition of win in this arena is to receive something positive because you have earned it. So you have to decide what your something positive might be. And it's better to have a lot of them, right? So a win for me might be, oh, I really want to get that keynote. That one keynote, that might be a win. But another thing could be a relationship I build in the process of trying to get it, even if I don't get it. Another win might be my honing in on my message so that I'm better able to relay it in a future pitch, even if I don't get it. And if you can start to look at what are the various things that I can win and earn it by advocating, all of a sudden it becomes less stressful, because it's not the one thing. If I don't get that one thing, then I've lost. It's a lot of things that are positive that you can receive by advocating.
That's so true. And yeah, I think in my own experience, I've seen that balance is much more important than just getting that one thing. For instance, you can be great in your professional life, but sacrifice so much of your family and friends' time that when instead of having people around you to enjoy those achievements, you're just on the top of the mountain and nobody's there with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that, yeah.
I think that that's right. I think that a lot of times part of the win for many of us is to do it with someone else, to build this relationship. And that's why argument is the last resort, right? If you're talking to your significant other and you want more help around the house, getting more help around the house at the expense of the relationship, at the expense of the joy and the laughter that comes as part of that relationship, is that truly a win? Not in my mind. And so I think that we need to be really careful that we are aware of what it is that we want and what we're willing to negotiate. You know, I always say when people are talking about negotiating, you want to know your negotiables and your non-negotiables. Non-negotiable in that situation might be preservation of the relationship. Negotiable might be, well, I'll do the dishes one more night if it means that we're able to maintain this healthy relationship that we have.
That's so true. And it makes so much sense, because many of the times when we're not grateful is when we're frustrated, because we might be doing too much, or we might be just experiencing things that we would not like to experience one way or another. So yeah, I think that's very relevant. And getting back a little bit to the idea of gratitude, I'm really curious how you define it. What is gratitude for you? How would you
gratitude to me?
Yeah.
To me, gratitude is appreciation, and even goes beyond that to celebration. When good things happen, I like to go beyond gratitude and celebrate them. I like to announce them. I like to make sure that I am showing my gratitude in a way that's out loud and obvious, so that the universe knows that that's what I'm doing. And it's a choice. You know, it comes back again to that inner jury, choosing gratitude. And it's a choice that you have to make and have to be aware that you're making. And so often we don't realize that we're choosing our thoughts and the way that we see the world. And so that's why I always start with the inner jury concept, because if you don't realize that you're missing an opportunity to choose gratitude, you are really missing a lot.
That's true. That's true. We have all kinds of experiences, and if we are not able to see how amazing they are, they just passes by. And even though they're great, we don't realize that they are so great. And I think that's a pity in many situations. And we make decisions based on this and on the fact that things might not be perfect, and we might be just seeing those negative things that are happening. And I think it's, like I said, it's a pity, and it's something that that we can all improve from my point of view. And of course, gratitude is very helpful with this. And I love another thing that you mentioned before getting to speak on the podcast, when we were just exchanging emails, that gratitude is not a destination; it's a daily practice. Can you expand on this a little bit?
Yeah, I think that we're constantly choosing. And so you've got to get in the practice of choosing gratitude and seeing it out there. You know, I believe that what you see, the way that you see the world, impacts your thoughts, which impacts your feelings, which impacts your actions, which impacts your results. And so truly what you see is what you get. But you have to get in the practice of seeing the world as filled with things to be grateful for. And that is a daily practice. It is not a destination. And some days, you know, if you have read the book, The Four Agreements, one of the agreements is always do your best. Some days your best is barely finding anything to be grateful for, you know, but doing the work. And other days your best is being just singing from the mountaintops, all of the things that you're grateful for, and not beating yourself up when you're having those less grateful days, but recognizing that it's a practice. And as long as you're practicing, you're getting better.
Giving a gift that supports someone dear to your heart can be a real blessing. Woohoo You made it very simple for you to offer a memorable gift that your loved one will surely cherish for the rest of their life. Help him or her feel appreciated and valued right now. They might need it more than you think. Go to georgianbenta.com/woohoo or visit the link in the description to find out more. That's so true. That's so true. It's really not about being grateful all the time, but about finding a way of getting back to that as soon as possible when you fall off the wagon. Because we all have days in which it's really hard to be grateful. And I'm thinking about some of our listeners that might find it hard right now, for instance, to feel grateful. And that's okay. It's one of the things that I really don't like is making people feel guilty that they're not grateful. Mm-hmm. And the people that are shaming them for not being grateful, I don't think it's the best way to go about it. So I think it's important to accept that sometimes we're not being grateful and not being able to be grateful. But we can also remember that it's a very enjoyable experience to feel grateful, and it brings a lot of fullness of life when we're able to do so. And especially when it comes to being our own self-advocate, I think it's very important, for instance, for our self-image to appreciate mm-hmm. those things that we like yeah. about ourselves, and the things that are great about ourselves, instead of just focusing on those things that aren't that great at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that is always intriguing to me is a lot of times when I'm teaching people how to advocate, they're not sure what they want. They say, I don't know what I want. I'm not clear on what I want. And I think gratitude is one of the practices that points us towards what we want. You know, what are you grateful for? Those are the things you enjoy. I walked my dog this morning. I was grateful for various things that we saw in nature. That points me towards the fact that I want to spend more time in nature. I'm actually moving so that I can do that. I am grateful for the opportunity to have this conversation with you, Georgian. That points me towards doing more podcasts and sharing these ideas more. And so I think that if you're unclear of what you want, or, you know, some people say, what is my passion? And I often say, look to what you're grateful for. That will help you to be a better advocate, because you'll be more clear on what you want.
That's such a great idea, actually. Like, the things that we're grateful for are actually the things that are important for us, and the things that we want more of in our life. And yeah, I think that's such a great idea, because they can come really naturally, and they're really representative of who we are. Yeah, I love this idea, and it's really powerful, since we are all doing our best here to find more gratitude and to focus more on this. We have a great baseline for realizing what we actually want and the things that are important for us. And I loved your example. And you're realizing by being grateful that you love being in nature, and you made a decision to be closer to nature more. So that's amazing. And I love also this perspective about our inner jury. And I'm really curious, like from the outside, at least, it seems that reaching the truth in certain situations is a matter of perspective. Like, especially in your line of work, it's about giving a certain perspective on reality, right?
Yeah, you're so correct. And I'd love to tell you a story that sort of puts this into context and shows the power of gratitude. So in the courtroom, I tell one story about a set of facts. The other side tells a completely different story about the same set of facts. And then the jury chooses which story is quote unquote true. For your inner jury,
I have to stop you a bit I lost you at one point. So you said in the courtroom and afterwards, I don't know if the mic or the connection is the issue.
All right, in the courtroom, I tell one story about a certain set of facts, and the other side tells a completely different story about the same set of facts. And then the truth is whatever the jury decides is true. So let's apply that to your inner jury, the part of you that chooses. And this is a story that happened last year at the beginning of the pandemic. Well, towards the beginning of the pandemic, I had bought a new pair of sunglasses that I loved, and they were expensive. I loved these sunglasses, and I was running to the doctor to get actually tested for COVID. And I grabbed my wallet, my keys, my earphones, and my sunglasses. And I put my sunglasses in the collar of my shirt and ran to the doctor's. And as I was running, I heard something drop. And I felt my pockets, and the headphones were still there, and the wallet was still there, and the keys were still there. And I was like, oh, it must have been something else. And I kept going. When I got to the doctor's office, I recognized that my sunglasses were gone. So I went back and looked everywhere for them, George. And I, at the time, was living in Manhattan, and I searched the streets, and the streets were pretty empty. It wasn't like a normal, you know, New York City day because of the pandemic. I couldn't find them anywhere. And I was late for the doctor's appointment, so I went to the doctor. And then in the walk home, I went back and forth at least 2 hours looking for my sunglasses, and they were gone. And the story that was going on in my brain was, you're so careless. You're always hurrying. You don't deserve nice things. You have too many sunglasses anyway. You shouldn't have bought those. And my inner jury had, that was the only story that my inner jury was hearing. And so my inner jury was choosing to believe that. And I made a conscious decision to give my inner jury a different story. So I thought to myself, well, I dropped the sunglasses and they were definitely gone. So what probably happened is someone was walking down the street sometime after I passed and saw my sunglasses on the ground. And I imagined that to be a woman who was headed to work in a job that was supporting those of us during the pandemic, you know, something like a restaurant or some sort of service industry. And she found these sunglasses and she looked around to see who they belonged to, and she couldn't find anyone. And so she cleaned them off so carefully, and she kept them, and she brought them home, and she showed them to her family, and she put them on, and she felt fabulous in these sunglasses. She felt like an entirely new woman. And I started to collect evidence for that story. I told myself that it was mostly people who were working in those types of jobs who were out and about that day. And I knew a friend who had found sunglasses once, and they were her favorite pair of sunglasses. And so suddenly my inner jury had a different story to choose. And I actively chose that story. And by the end of the day, I was grateful that I had lost my sunglasses, because I believed this story that was making me feel so good about the loss. And that is a change in perspective. It takes practice, for sure, but it is available to us. And in that practice, we can choose gratitude more often.
Wow. What I love most about this story is the fact that it also connects us with abundance. And instead of thinking about your own loss, you thought about the abundance and the gratitude and the expansion of beautiful experiences that it had for the other person. And by you connecting with that energy, I think is the best the best way to go about it, and but the best way to attract something similar or even better to your own experience.
Yeah. I mean, when I talk about the inner jury choosing, one of the things I always say is you're always choosing between abundance and scarcity, you know? And so I really work to choose abundance. And listen, you know, I don't want the listeners to think I always get it right or it's always an easy choice. I mean, before I made that choice, I was nasty all day. You know, I was feeling bad about myself, so I wasn't treating the people around me well. I was beating myself up. And that ability to make a different choice is only as a result of a lot of practice and a lot of work at it. And so, you know, it doesn't always come easy, but it's so worth it.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things that I love about gratitude is the fact that when we make it a habit and we choose gratitude more and more often, as much as possible, when it's easy, it's amplified, but when it's hard, it's like a tool that's ready, already sharpened, so that we can use it when it's necessary and when the situation is demanding it. And yeah, I think it's that exact idea that once something of that nature happened, you were able to gather the inner resources to create a different story and to live it, basically, because that's the interesting part. What we think, what we really believe, it's what we actually live. It doesn't have to be like something that's, I don't know, to have proof for everything, and everything has to be, I don't know, we have to have a lot of evidence for things, because sometimes, and many times actually, for the negative things that we believe about ourselves, we don't even have any kind of evidence, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I think evidence is just a thought, right? I chose to think that this has happened before. I knew one circumstance. One circumstance, Georgian, for me was enough evidence to lean me that exactly. way. And I think a belief is a thought that you repeat and back up with evidence. And anything can be evidence. You know, the thing that is so interesting in the courtroom is we all have the same evidence, and yet we tell completely different stories about it. Complete, I mean, contradictory stories, right? Arguing stories in the courtroom. And so I think that when we think we don't have evidence, we're usually wrong. We just have to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I love this. And it's very interesting, especially from this perspective of the courtroom. And I think it's very very interesting to look at it from this point of view. Having a visual of this is very helpful, in my opinion, as well. Like, I'm really curious if you have some kind of a visual, like how you see things going on in your head from this point of view.
I mean, I think that I one of the things I guess that I see is that the truth is dependent on the way that you see the world. So the visual that I often have is in the courtroom, we talk about the scales of justice and how one side puts all of their evidence on one side, the opposing attorney puts all of their evidence on the other side, and then the jury decides the weight of the evidence and which side is heavier. And I often think of that, like, am I putting all of my evidence on the negative side of the scale? And how can I put evidence on the positive side of the scale? And then when it comes to your outer jury, you know, persuading someone else to give you what you want, you've got to give them evidence to put on the side of the scale that serves the choice you want them to make. So I guess the visual that most serves me is those old-fashioned scales, you know, like the scales of justice that you see sometimes in old-fashioned pictures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And I think it's so good. It's such a good visual because it's very simple and it works great. Like, for instance, when we are when we feel down, it's just okay, some things are happening on the outside, but beyond that, it's our mind putting things on the negative side of it, of the scale. And of course, when we keep on putting one after another, it tends to be more and more heavy. And what gratitude helps us with is balancing it out. And even, for instance, when we're very happy and very, very satisfied with our life and we feel very fulfilled, is when we see the positive side of the scale more, and when that one is heavier and with more thoughts and more perspectives. And I really love this visual, and I hope that it's something that our audience will be using as well, because I really think that these kinds of things help us a lot. Instead of having something that's really hard to grasp somehow, we make it real. And I love this perspective. Thank you.
Oh gosh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. So we are nearing the end of our time together. And one of the things that I love asking on the podcast is, who are some people in your life that you are grateful for?
Oh, so many. I'm very grateful for my family, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, their children. They are the foundation of everything that I am and everything that I do. I am enormously grateful for my friends. This move is also back to be closer to some of my friends. And I think sometimes, you know, I've moved to a town where I didn't know a lot of people, and that has been hard and has increased my gratitude for my friends. And I think sometimes the tough times make us more grateful for the things that we know we want. And then the last thing I have to say, Georgian, is I have a puppy. He's almost 10 months old now, so outgrowing his puppyhood a little bit. And I'm so grateful for him.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I love how prepared you were for this question. And I felt that, I don't know, somehow like there is this big heart that has all these people inside of it. And it was really easy for you to talk about this, because they were already in there somehow. That's that's very beautiful. So let us know a little bit also about your book, Advocate to Win.
Yeah, so I Advocate to Win is my more recent book, and the subtitle is 10 Ways to Ask for What You Want and Get It. And it really gives you, it talks about the different things that we use in the courtroom, like words and questions and perspective and evidence, and how to apply that to your inner jury and then to your outer jury of friends, family, clients, or customers. The book before that is called The Elegant Warrior, and it just has stories from the courtroom and how they apply to life. So both of those books are available anywhere that you buy books, and both of those books will help you to become a better advocate for yourself.
That's wonderful. I think the best ideas are the most simple ones, like the ones that you can talk about, you can describe in a sentence. So I love the fact that that you were able to do so. And once again, thank you very much for all of these amazing ideas that you shared with us, and for the work that you're doing for the women and for the world in general. So
thank you so much, Georgian, and thank you for this podcast. It's a beautiful podcast, and I'm glad that you're out there in the world putting this information out there.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.